Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Wisconsin is like an absolute mess right now. First the governor is saying we're going to postpone the primary election day. Going to hold that off until June. Then the state Supreme Court weighs in, says, no, you can't do that. Now it looks like the U.S. Supreme Court has weighed in on blocking extending absentee voting. It's just an absolute mess. And here to share some thoughts on, well, where we are, I've asked our good friend, former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney, to come shed some light. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick. I don't know if I can shed some light, but I can give you a comparison that went a different direction to Wisconsin.
Okay, give me the comparison.
Your home state of Ohio and mine.
Right.
And what ended up happening there is Republican Governor Mike DeWine said there's not going to be an election, and this would have been a couple weeks ago on our Tuesday election day, which we moved to March on presidential years. A judge in Franklin County, Columbus, Ohio, said, oh, no, no, this election is going to proceed. The governor came out and said, well, that's fine. I don't care. We're not going to have the election.
Right.
And then nobody, went after that, Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Nobody.
And I was I said I'm uncomfortable with the governor having the power to do that, but
right.
He did the right thing, and I'm
right.
glad that nobody pushed it. Now, Wisconsin's just, what the hell?
Yeah, well, same scenario. I mean, you got a governor. Governor says, we're going to continue absentee ballots, and then they'll move the election. I think probably the same date Ohio was going to, sometime in June. So he did the same thing, but then it got challenged by the Republicans. And then the state went against the governor, and then on top of it, the U.S. Supreme Court very quickly amended a federal lower court ruling and said, well, you can count the absentees, but they've got to be postmarked by Tuesday, I guess midnight, I would say, or Tuesday, around, I guess, midnight. And then you can count them later on the following Monday, but you've got to have them postmarked. So that's where they ended up at. So, again, same thing happened in Ohio, except nobody went to court against it. None of the legislatures.
See, but this is one of those weird moments. I mean,
weird.
This is one of those weird moments where you go, how exactly are you going to get the absentee ballots out to people and then have them back in time for the election today?
Well, they're not. So anybody that was in the system with an absentee already, fine. But there's no way you can get an absentee ballot out to somebody when the election is tomorrow. You can't do it.
That's insane.
So this
mess purely is an example of the Republicans pushing their weight around where they shouldn't have. I mean, I didn't necessarily agree with DeWine having the power to do that, but I understand it, and it's the right thing to do. I'm a little uncomfortable with it, but it was the right thing to do. And you move on. This is where both parties should have agreed. This is a moment. This is a global pandemic. These are extenuating circumstances. Let's make sure that people aren't standing in line for hours.
As much as, Governor DeWine has done a good job, he's taken a lot of heat. He came out early with the schools, and things like that, closing them and then shelter in place, But even though I didn't care for the fact that the director of the Ohio Department of Health stood there and said, okay, we're not going to have voting because, of the danger, whereas I felt at least, and the governor backed it up, but I felt at least the governor should say, we're not going to have voting because I don't like unelected people doing something like that. But the governor did it. Now, technically, the legislature should have got with the governor, but, it happened fast, and so it is what it is. And I didn't like the mechanics of it, but I'm with you. I like the result, just not the mechanics of Ohio. Now, this one took a whole different turn because no matter what anybody thought of the mechanics, it didn't matter because it just then started into a court battle.
Yeah, and again, it's another one of these moments that highlights the difference in ideology and just seems, like party line now seems to really matter more than ever.
Right. And, it's interesting. I mean, I often wonder, would the Republicans have been so harmed? I mean, I ask this. would they have been so harmed by having absentee ballots? How would they have been harmed?
Yeah, especially, I ask that question? Especially since it's just the primary.
Right. It's a primary. So how do you have a Republican aggrieved when, you know, it's their primary and the Democrat primary? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think just because the Democrat governor did it, then the Republicans said, okay, he's going to do that. We're going to do this.
Yeah, but I mean, stop it. Let that sink in for a second, what you just said. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's just a Democratic governor, we're going to fight it, even if it means that if we get what we want, you know, tens of thousands of people are going to stand in line and potentially get sick because they want to do nothing more than exercise their right to the franchise.
Right. Right. Then I also wonder about, and you never know how these things end up with the vote counts, but then I wonder about incumbent protection. You know, an incumbent sits there and says, okay, I really don't want, you know, more absentee ballots. Let's not do that. You know, almost it becomes like, you know, was that part of their philosophy of incumbent protection?
Could be. No, I mean, look, incumbents have lots of protections and lots of power and lots of resources that a challenger doesn't.
Well, especially today, because, you know, the well-heeled, well-financed incumbent of either party is going to be sitting there, and the challenger, let's see, can you go door-to-door to get the votes? I don't think so. You want to approach people at a county fair, try to talk to them? I mean, that's tough. So, I mean, this can be an incumbent madness when you think about it, because of what's happening.
Or it could be that moment, to be honest, where everyone's going, this sucks. Everybody's got to go. We wipe them all out.
That's true. Now, that could happen, too. You never know. This has got a lot of room to play. I mean, it's got room to play on our medical side, our personal side, our welfare side of how we exist as humans, you know, in the country. But it's also, look, it's got a political side to it of how it plays out and where this goes and primaries, including the presidential, you know, the Democratic primary and all levels from city council all the way up to president.
Yeah. Well, everyone keeps telling me the Democratic presidential is over because Bernie's not going to get 60% of the delegates. And I'm like, well, there still should be a debate. We should still go forward over the summer when it's safe to do so. People should have their right. I still want my right to cast a ballot in the primary. Because, look, I'm not a huge Biden fan. I like Joe Biden. I think he's a good guy. I just don't think he's the guy to take Trump on and move us forward. I just don't. But here again, I guess, you know, you look at, he's willing to wear a mask as where Trump isn't. That seems to be at least a step forward.
Well, and I think that Joe Biden, and again, I think I've said this on your show before, I serve with Joe Biden. I like Joe Biden. I'm not a Biden hater by any stretch of imagination.
I'm not either.
He's probably one of the best in foreign policy that we have had in a long time in the U.S. Senate. However, I think he's got to be careful because, you know, when he went on, I think the Tonight Show or, you know, through electronic medium, he went on there and then said, well, we need to, you know, postpone the convention. Friends of mine in D.C. tell me that people within the Democrat National Committee were not real happy with that being the way it was, you know, decided. And then now he said, well, I'm going to pick, you know, my vice presidential choice and probably announce it before the postponed convention, and it's almost like he's operating as Joe Biden, the incumbent, you know. And I think he's got to be just a little careful on that because they need, you know, the Sanders people. They need them.
Yeah, I mean, I saw today.
Got to be careful.
No, I saw today that he's publicly announced he's vetting, you know, VP candidates.
Right.
And you go, that's a little presumptuous. I know you're
right.
Doing it, and I know everyone does, and you do as well. You go through this process all along of who you're going to choose, and it's not just a shock at the end. But
right.
To come out and actually say that, you know, it's kind of like, it's over. Nothing from here matters. And I'm going, we got a long way to go yet.
Well, in normal times, you can get away, a candidate in normal times can get away with saying, I'm going to pick my VP choice before we go in the convention. You know, looking like they're, you know, this is wrapped up. They can do that in normal times because the other candidates are kind of doing the same thing. These are not normal times. And so I think they've got to watch the perception that, you know, people aren't free to move about now, so we're just going to do what we want to do. And I'm not saying that he's doing that, but this is more of a perception problem than if this wasn't going on. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
If it wasn't going on, it'd be just a political move. This can be looked at as a hardball move now, not a political move, a hardball move.
No, it is. And look, you know, I've been saying for a while, you know, Biden's campaign, you know, played the that weekend in South Carolina well. They played the game when they had to really well. I don't know if this is playing the game well.
Right. And by the way, speaking of playing the game well, you and I had spoke, last week on Friday about the new commission they were forming. Now Congressman Clyburn's the chairman of it. He did a really smart thing. He really, really did. He came out and he said, look, this is not investigating the president. This is investigating where the money's going to go, how it comes out. Now, indirectly, you know, if Kushner puts his fingers all over this thing, that's different. But I thought that was a very he stopped immediately the backlash that the Republicans were beginning about this commission, you know, this committee. This temporary committee.
I thought it was smart as well. And
very smart.
And look, you know, even before the bill passed, I said, you know, as we're just talking about this kind of money, we need a Truman-esque commission to follow every dollar, to squeeze every quarter and make the eagle scream, to make sure that we're not getting cheated again, that this is just doesn't become a slush fund for big corporations and the very wealthy. And look, I'm happy to see that this has gone this direction.
Well, yes, because this commission can do a lot of valuable things. And the one thing it can do with, you know, $500 billion, and there'll probably be another bill, but the one thing it can do is to say that, you know, you're right, every dime, is it spent appropriately? Is it spent wisely? And more importantly, if it's spent on the major corporations, airlines, multinational corporations, or whatever, are they going to be able to take taxpayers' money, then turn around and make tons of profit and levy higher prices on taxpayers after receiving their own money? So this commission can be an integral part of making sure that doesn't happen.
And that's what I want to see. And that's what I said from the beginning. There has to be a cop on the beat. So that, look, you know, Boeing has said they don't want any partners. They don't want any to give up any equity, and they're not going to take any money. Good. Well, maybe we'll go with somebody who's willing to help move forward. And if they've got other options, they should be pursuing those other options. And maybe we begin to change this whole dynamic of every time there's a hiccup or there's something that happens, that corporations come with their snout in the trough.
Right, right. They're talking about another bill, you know, which is sort of like not – the fourth bill, but sort of 3.5. And I think that they'll have to kind of rely on some of the things the commission finds out, too. They may not obviously want to do another $500 million to the big multinational corporations who might be pinched, but obviously don't die over this right now. You
half
know?
A trillion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, half a trillion. Where am I at?
Yeah, half a trillion.
Half a trillion.
We've gone well beyond the billions.
Right, right.
You know,
I'm living in the old era.
Yeah, I watched the movie Arthur with my daughter the other day, and because we're sequestered in the house, and the Liza Minnelli goes, "Oh, he's a millionaire," and my daughter's like, "Is that a big deal anymore?" Which, because you know, we've got all these billionaires now. It just is what it is. Anyway, Bob, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. As always, good stuff. But you know, it's just one of those weird moments that just weird. Anyway, gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America. What?